The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John chapter 2, beginning at the 13th verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and in the temple courts he found men selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said, and then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I'd like to speak to you from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Let's pray. Lord, as we meditate on this word this morning, so touch our hearts and our lives and send us out as your gospel people into the world. In your name we pray. Amen. We're taking for our Lent sermon series texts from Mark pertaining to the literary construct of the messianic secret. Now today, as you would have understood from the text being read, this is the messianic not-so-secret. Jesus sent him, that's the man he'd healed from leprosy, away at once with a strong warning which began, "See that you don't tell this to anyone." But what did he do? Mark writes, instead he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. In other words, he blabbed. Oscar Wilde, the great Irish poet and playwright, said that he could resist anything except temptation. And in rather the same way, some people can keep anything except a secret. However much you say, "You won't tell, will you?" And however many people say, "Oh no, not a soul," somehow news leaks out and you often have a good idea of where the leak came from. In his internet article, "The Real Reason You Can't Keep Secrets," Corey Steig wrote this: A survey showed that the more often people thought about secrets they were keeping, the worse they reported their health and well-being. So it's not that some people are better than others at keeping secrets, but rather they're better at handling the sometimes intrusive and negative thoughts about having to keep something secret. The main ingredient for well-being was how much people were having those secrets come to mind, said the surveyor, Dr. Sleepian. If you're someone who tends to ruminate about everything, that might make it harder for you to keep something to yourself. If you're holding information back from other people around you, you feel inauthentic for doing so. Some research shows that writing or journaling about what you can't discuss may make you feel a little relief. Or if you absolutely have to get it off your chest, maybe pick someone trustworthy who you know won't spill the beans like your cat. Nobody likes a person who spills the secret, who blabs the secret. But sometimes higher social levels like governments and kings and presidents and royal families are plagued by leaks of information. And sometimes they even arrange these leaks in order to keep people happy, especially the media. Is that what Jesus is doing here? Well, I don't think so. But we will take for our theme today what Jesus was saying, healed leper. See that you don't say this to anyone. And we'll see what we can learn for our discipleship journey as we look this morning at this messianic not-so-secret. In Mark 1:39 we read, "So Jesus travelled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." So Jesus was on the move. He was travelling. And Mark writes, "A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees." Now, we know that leprosy today is called Hansen's disease, but back then, there were many different kinds of skin blemishes and problems that were given the name leprosy. And if you had any kind of leprosy, you were excluded from the community, not only the religious community, but your family and your social community. This was for two reasons. One, that you became ceremonially unclean and you would defile the religious community. The synagogue, and especially if you went to Jerusalem, the temple, which was an absolute no-no. The second reason was that you could give your skin disease to the family, to the members of your community or your religious community. So lepers were sent to live beyond city walls, to roam in the country and eat food left beyond the city gates by the townspeople. Wherever they went, they had to shout, "Unclean!" so that anyone who was not inflicted with the disease would not come near them. Now, leprosy was seen as being a punishment for sin that was committed. We see this in a number of places in the scriptures, with Miriam in Numbers 12, with Gehazi in 2 Kings 5, and King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26. So the leper, and note that he's not named, is one who is ostracized from the community. He's alone, and he's made to feel responsible for the condition that he is in. So there were many reasons why this man was so very alone and so very isolated. It's not that it was quite the same, but I think we can identify a little bit with this, with what we went through with COVID. We had to stay at home. We were isolated. We had to sanitize everywhere we went. We could not physically touch. And if you were out at the supermarket and coughed and sneezed, it was like you shouted, "Unclean." And people looked at you like you were a leper. It was a leper-like experience. But eventually a vaccine came from COVID, and I'm not going to go into the where's or why for's whether you should have it or not, but there was no vaccine for leprosy back then. Today, Hansen's disease is dealt with three first-line drugs, which is called polychemotherapy. So back then, this leper's only hope was this itinerant preacher and healer that he had heard about who was traveling around Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth. And lo and behold, as luck would have it, here was this Jesus coming down the road with this entourage. So you can imagine the leper hightailing it down the road to meet Jesus, and he knelt down before him. Now, when someone kneels down in front of you, they stop you in your tracks, don't they? They get your attention. And this man did this to Jesus and begged him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Notice that he doesn't ask for cure. He asks for cleansing, because it was cleansing that he needed to restore him to his family, his community, and his religious community. He knew that Jesus could make him clean, but he wasn't sure that he would. In the NIV, Mark writes, "filled with compassion." This is believed to be a change made by later copyists. Earlier manuscripts have a Greek word there that is translated as "moved with anger." Why would Jesus be angry at the leper's request? There is something we need to understand here about Mark's gospel. In Matthew's and Luke's account of the temptation, at the end of the temptation, the devil always leaves Jesus. But in Mark's gospel, Jesus is always in conflict with the devil. Jesus is angry because this is what the devil does to people. He binds them up, alienates them, causes them rejection and sickness. Jesus was angry indeed, but he was also filled with compassion. Have you ever heard of righteous anger? That's what we have here. Righteous anger has caused many people to change broken systems and correct injustice. Righteous anger was the cause of William Wilberforce and his supporters bringing an end to slavery. And when communities see an injustice and a need, they often come together to bring about a solution. And this is what Jesus did here. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. In performing acts of salvation and liberation for the people of Israel, God's hand is often said to stretch out when he acts to save. He did this through Moses and others, and now he does it through Jesus. The touch of Jesus is his acceptance of the unclean, his breaking through the barriers separating clean from unclean. This is what is so amazing about Jesus' touch. In the Old Testament, if the unclean touched the clean, it would make the clean unclean. It would defile it. Now, Jesus, the clean one, as we heard in Mark 1:24 in the mouth of the demon, the Holy One of God, touches the unclean one and makes him clean, makes him holy. The man is cured and he can go back to his community. The gospel then is the touch of God on the unclean, contaminated and contaminating areas of human existence in society, in the church, and in the nation. Mark goes on to write in chapter 1, 43 and 44, "Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. The Greek word for strong warning here contains the idea of being angry and indignant and even snorting with anger. The struggle between Jesus and unclean powers was still going on. And throughout Mark's gospel, the emotions of Jesus are very intense. The leper was already clean. Jesus knew that. He was the high priest of all high priests. But Jesus told the man to do what was ritually required of him as a Jew, to show himself to the priest, to get his clearance to rejoin the community and offer the necessary sacrifices next time he was down in Jerusalem at the temple. Not in order to become clean, but rather to be seen as clean. Now, Mark never tells us if he actually did those things or not. But what we do know he did was he went out and blabbed. He told everyone about how Jesus healed him. And as a result, Jesus could not do what he had planned to do, travel through Galilee and preach in the synagogues. But he had to stay outside in the lonely places, meaning the desert. And yet people still came to him from everywhere. So what's the result of this man's gossiping? Jesus now has to stay outside in the desert where the lepers and the other outcasts lived. And he, the healed man, can go inside and enter his village and community again. They swap places. The contrast between inside and outside is a strong theme right through Mark's gospel. Jesus himself continually moves between being inside and outside. Already here, there is a pointer to the outcome of this gospel. Jesus dies as an outsider. The desert was his place, the place of the unclean. And this is where Jesus is to be found, and this is where people can come to him. You know, one of the main reasons for the messianic secret in this stage of his ministry is so that people would not see Jesus' messiahship as only being a miracle worker, that's a healer of the sick and an exorcist. His primary mission was not to give temporary respite from a human condition, which is ultimately terminal anyway, because no matter who you are, you still have to die. Jesus is not a reluctant healer, but healing is not the focus of his ministry. The focus of his ministry is, as we heard last week in the Transfiguration, the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God turns the order of this world upside down. Demons are driven out, people are healed, miracles are performed. And in order to permanently deal with all of the suffering, the sickness, the brokenness, the demon possession, Jesus has to take all of that uncleanness upon himself on the cross. A dying Messiah is not the kind of Messiah the Jews were expecting. And the cross is not the place where the Jews were expecting the Messiah to fight. Jesus breaks down those barriers that separate what is holy from what is unholy, from what is holy, what is unclean from what is clean. And his community is called to follow in his steps and to offer the cleansing touch of the clean one to those who are and feel themselves to be on the outside of society and the church. The leper's story makes clear that it is God's will in Jesus to touch, to cleanse, and to make whole. And it's not just an imagination or a wish. Instead, it is promise that has power to touch the particularity of lives broken and suffering from the powers of the unclean in this world. It makes clear that the proclamation of this good news has the power, even today, to burst the boundaries of the constraint that would keep the good word being here. The story of Jesus must get out, even if it is at the wrong time and the wrong place, like it was back then. My friends, we are here today because we have heard that good word of Jesus Christ. Christ has crossed the boundaries that has separated us from him. He has dealt with our sin, our brokenness, our uncleanness. His saving work is our hope. It is something that we have all experienced. You know, we may still carry the wounds of the scars of life, but Christ has reached out to us and said, "Be clean. I will take your uncleanness upon myself and give you my cleanness." It is what Jesus did upon the cross. He took our sin upon himself and gave us his righteousness. So how should this gospel of cleanness, this gospel that has power, mold and make us as church today? Firstly, as I've often said, that we be a comprehensive church, a church where all are welcome to come and find a healing touch from the Lord, no matter how untouchable they may seem. Secondly, that we be a compassionate church, as Christ was compassionate. And by that I do mean righteous anger, that we be passionate about reaching out with that compassionate gospel that touches, that gospel that heals. And this is how we then live and share the Jesus life that I so often talk about, that we too be barrier crosses to reach out to the isolated and alienated untouchables of this world. Yes, word is getting out about Jesus. He is the healer, the deliverer from demons, and the miracle worker. But that's not the kind of Messiah he is. He still does his cleansing work through his church. His kingdom, the kingdom of God, is still breaking in through us, his church. But his healings, his deliverances, his miracles only point to a greater end. They are not an end in themselves. And to discover what this end is, we need to keep journeying through Mark's Gospel this Lenten season. Amen. So Lord, we come before you to thank you for the deliverance, the freedom that you bring, that you are the clean one who came to take all our uncleanness upon yourself. And we thank you, Lord, that you have done that, and by doing that, you have reconciled us to yourself. Lord, in thankfulness for what you have done for us, we pray, O God, that you would help us to be boundary crosses, that we would reach out to the alienated and the untouchables of our society and share your touch with them, so that they may know your mercy, your love, your freedom, your forgiveness, your cleanness, your acceptance of them. So Lord, this is a huge task. Send us your Holy Spirit to empower us to live and share the Jesus life. In your name we pray. Amen.